So alhamdulillah, we're going to start reading from this book. Today I'm like really exhausted, so forgive me if you can tell. It's not good to tell people you're exhausted, but just in case you wondered. Because as I was walking in, someone's like, "Are you okay?" It's like the worst feeling when you're like, "Yeah, I'm okay, I'm just like tired." But alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qawwitna inshaAllah. So we're talking about religiosity and the idea of like coming into religiosity, and like we mentioned the problem of cults and like Muslim cults, and the danger of overly attaching ourselves to charismatic leadership. You know, I think it's sometimes I talk about my personal life here because it's important for you to understand that we all have the same problems. And, you know, that allows us to be honest with one another. I talked to an imam recently. He said he's the loneliest person in his city. I said, "Why?" He said, "Man, like, I can't share what I'm going through with anybody because they all think I'm, they think I'm like Aquaman or something, right?" So I said, "But also part of that falls on you. That you have to model for them. You can also miss that 3-point shot, right? You can lose the game. You can stumble." And that doesn't take anything away from you, right? You're still who you are. And maybe, I said to him, it's because you expect them to be perfect. Like, maybe you're not being fair to them. Like, maybe you act this way because that's what you expect of the people that you serve, which is also unfair. So, alhamdulillah, we're going to begin reading from the book Manazil As-Sa'irin of Shaykh al-Islam, Shaykh al-Harari, rahimahullah ta'ala. He lived in the 5th century. Of course, we're going to have to like fine-tune it a little to our era. But we said that primarily this book deals with mindfulness, awareness, and emergent religiosity. The process, the constant process throughout life of maintaining our faith and practice, which we talked about before, is obviously going to be fluctuating. And we noted, and I think there's a few points I should make also, like, you're about to experience a very distilled form of spirituality, a very intense form of spirituality. These people did not mince their words, like, and they were very, very, I would say they had a very intimate relationship with faith that was rooted in tawheed and rooted in following the sunnah. So you're going to feel at times like overwhelmed. And that can be a good thing. One time I taught a class, actually Khad was there. This is about 12 years ago. I taught a class for Al-Maghrib in New Jersey. So I mentioned some stuff that I had learned, you know, from a teacher of mine. Maghrib does a great job, mashallah. But like I said some things that had come from like texts that I had come across and teachers I had heard from. And this lady came to me and she was like, "I don't like your class." I was like, "Why?" She's like, "'Cause I don't know any of these things." So I said, "Do you pay just to like hear what you already know? Like, is that what you want? Or like, do you want to be challenged to think about the parameters of your religion in a way that pushes your capacity spiritually?" So you could see this is kind of like CrossFit spirituality. You know, you come for an hour, get like 100,000 burpees in, and then what you eat after the training session, that's on you. If you eat pizza, you eat pizza. If you drink kale smoothie then with no sugar, then God bless you. So it's important to note that this is very distilled. And I hope one day to translate the text, but like it really needs a person of letters because his language is very profound. So there's a few points I want to make before we jump into it. And that is number one, when he starts to talk about these 10 foundational and processes, they're not something that just happens once. Like they may happen again and again in different ways, in different experiences. So an awakening may come to someone who's a sinner, and an awakening may come to someone who's a saint. You see what I'm trying to say? But those are going to come in very different ways. Hence he says, abwab, doors. So that means we should learn to respect each other's approaches. Like, so if we see people coming, if we see people engaged, and they don't look like us, or they don't come from our background, or they may be coming from a different place, but that's the awakening that Allah gave them, man. So one of the things that the Shaykh helps you do is like really respect other seekers. And to be like nuanced in how you engage people within the Muslim community. At the same time, he frames this spirituality in orthodoxy. It's not a free-for-all, right? He frames it in foundations, and that's why he mentions al-usul. So there's this idea of like compassion, there's this idea of respect and nuance, and then there's this idea that foundations are like a goal. So let's just review the 10 quickly. He says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأَقْسَامِ الَّتِي ذَكَرْتُهَا فِي صَدْرِ كِتَابَ عَشَرَ. He said, you know, you should know that the stations or the places that you're going to move through in this text that are the foundations of Sirat al-Mustaqim are 10. So he said the first one is al-bidayat, and he didn't say al-bidaya, he said bidayat, as I mentioned earlier, because maybe we come to God through different ways. Like subhanAllah, man, once I was traveling overseas, I met this brother, he's from England, he's a really cool guy, man. I'm not gonna say his name because of the story, but like he spoke fluent Arabic, he memorized the Quran. I had just converted, so I was like, wow, this guy's like a superhero, man, you know. And I asked him, like, kayfa aslamt, you know, like, how did you find Allah? And he said, I found Allah with a heroin needle. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I used to shoot heroin in Germany with a Muslim brother. I was like, what the heck? So he's like, yeah, we were shooting heroin, and then he started to say these weird words. Like, I didn't know what these words meant, like, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, a'udhu billah, right, whatever. And then he said, I found light in my heart from the words he was saying, man. I didn't even know what they meant, but I just found like light. So I asked him like, what is the stuff that you're saying, man? And he was like, well, I don't really know if I should be saying it because we live in a park together and shoot heroin, but I'm remembering Allah. So that was like his catalyst to like change his life. That's how he found this relationship. He found other people through like great moments of success. Through sickness. So the idea of al-bidayat, right? We all come maybe through different moments, either to find faith or to improve our faith, as we talked about before. The second thing he says after that is al-abwab. He doesn't say bab, because al-abwab means that everyone has different passions and different ways by which they will translate that beginning. So through art, through being a professional, maybe as an imam, as an athlete, as a tech person, as a school counselor, as a parent, right? All those are abwab to Allah. That's why Yaqub, he said to his sons, udkhulu abwab mutafarriqa. It's a strategy, right? Go in different doors. And Sidi Ahmad Zaruqi said, ikhtilaf al-masalik la yajlibu ikhtilaf al-maqsad. Like different ways to God doesn't mean that the different ways doesn't imply that the objective is different. وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ. So the Prophet ﷺ, he's surrounded by an infinite number of people that have multiple levels of talent and failure. So al-abwab means like, how do you find your passion? And what do you use to enter into this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then after that is al-mu'amalat. How do you and I carry ourselves? And then after mu'amalat is al-akhlaq, the character that I should try to acquire on this path. And that implies two things. What's called takhliya and tahliya, meaning what do I embellish myself with? The scholars use the word like when you wear jewelry in the mirror, right? It's tahliya. So what jewelry, what character are you gonna work on? Maybe I need to work on being nicer. Maybe I need to work on patience, right? So I'll wear the jewelry of patience metaphorically. Tukhliya means what am I going to remove from myself? And that cannot happen, and this is very profound, by the way, unless you're looking in the mirror. So the idea here is what? Accountability and looking into myself and being introspective. And the third is, after its character, is the usul. Like what are the foundations? Knowledge, practice, companionship. Knowledge, practice, companionship. Knowledge, practice, companionship. Surat al-Kahf. is the usul, subhanAllah. That's why I read it every week. And after that is al-adwiya. What are the remedies I can use to treat myself? Because إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبَحًا طَوِيلًا. Allah said to Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, you're going to be tested, buddy. You're going to be rocked. So there are times where I may have to self-medicate. And there may be times where I need to seek medication from my community. فَالْأَدْوِيَةِ. There's another qira'ah, not to make it too hard for you. This qira'ah is not authentic. إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبَخًا with kha. سَبَخًا طَوِيلًا. The word sabkha means to rip to pieces. So it means like, O Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you pray at night because in the daytime, you're going to be ripped to pieces. So the salah, praying at night became the remedy, the dawa. See something, it's like really beautiful. And after the remedies is the ahwal, being aware of my psychological and emotional states. SubhanAllah, as you turn 40, as men, I can't talk about women, I don't know, but that inner voice somehow becomes amplified. The inner voice that I didn't listen to when I was young. The inner voice that was like, don't try to dunk on that dude. I was like, you got this. And then, oh snap, I broke my ankle, right? That inner voice that says like, you know what? You're not patient enough. You know what? Like you should be aware of this. That voice, I can say in my own experience, as you get older, becomes louder. As the tides of youthful arrogance recede, the voice of older wisdom starts to appear. That's Shakespeare right there, boy. No, I'm just joking. That will be youthful arrogance. But the point I'm trying to say is, like, am I aware of myself? What are the things that trigger me? To either good or bad. And then after that is al-wilaya. What does it mean to be truly standing for God? And then after that, the Shaykh, he says, is al-haqa'iq, to see with ihsan. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. Allah says, Sayyidina Muhammad, you didn't throw it. When you threw it, Allah threw it. And then the last is al-nihayat, the endings. So today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the beginnings. And we're going to note again, I'm sorry, I'll have this for you next time written down, so you don't have to write all this stuff down. And I can post it on my Facebook wall, shameless plug to follow me, tonight or tomorrow, inshallah. So he says, فَأَمَّا قِسْمُ الْبِدَايَاتِ فَهُوَ عَشْرَةُ أَبْوَابِ. The Shaykh, he says, this is very important, man, think about yourself. Everyone, like, center yourself for a minute. Just think about where you are in your relationship with Allah. Just think about that, like. So the Shaykh is taking you somewhere, it's like super important, man. He says, the beginnings are 10. I relate to this because as a convert, like I see this. Like I was like, man, that is me. And then as a father, you continue to see it. You know, your children teach you things about yourself that you don't want to know, as well as things about you that you want to know. He said, so your beginnings are 10. The first is al-yaqadha, to be roused, to be shaken, to be woke, to be awakened. We talked about this a few weeks ago. I touched on it, right? Test, trial, success, everything around us is really a means to push us back to the real truth. So now I begin to see everything around me as an opportunity to enhance worship in Allah as though I see Him, even though you can't see Him. So the Prophet knows we can't see Allah. That's impossible. So then how do we see without seeing? That's the mystery of qada and qadr. As though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh, my servant, I love you, so I'm going to test you so you can see me. Oh, my servant, I love you, so I'm going to give you so you can see me. You can't see me, but you can see my athar. We'll talk about this in our spring break retreat, the idea of athar. Like, outcomes. So the first is being roused. The second is Tawbah. Come home. Fix it. Because when I wake up, right, today we had a staff meeting at 12 o'clock. I was super exhausted, subhanAllah, I was traveling this weekend. And I woke up, you know, you wake up, you're not sure what time it is. But then when you realize what time it is, then you can fix kind of what you may have been doing wrong, right? So that's the idea, is like, I was spiritually neglectful. I've been roused. I'm not really sure what time it is spiritually. Oh, dang, I need to work on this. I become aware of things. So when I become aware, I begin to fix it. Or like, if you've ever like been joking with someone, and then like a few days later, they tell you like, you really hurt me, how you feel like penitent. That's the idea here, is like after being awakened, now I become aware. I want to fix what I'm aware of. And that's what he said earlier, that can be between two extremes. Has to be balanced in that. The third step in the process of beginnings is al-muhasaba, to audit myself, to take reconnaissance of myself, to take inventory. Like, what can I work on? Where have I failed? Where do I need to improve? Then the next is al-inaba. And inaba is like tawbah, except tawbah is to return from sin. Inaba is to return from bad actions. So like, I didn't pray, now I pray. I was mean, now I'm nice. I was an oppressor, now I'm just. So a tawbah is the idea of like spiritually turning to God. Inaba is physically turning to God. Then there's fikr. And that's the next. And fikr means to contemplate, to think. And that means to think about where God has brought you, to appreciate where we came from. And that leads to the next, a dhikr. Because we say that to remember Allah is rooted in thinking about Allah, appreciating Allah. We do dhikr of the dunya all the time. Everywhere I went this weekend, I heard people talking about some flat phone, man. They could describe this flat phone like they could describe their kids. You know what I mean, metaphorically? Like, that's dhikr. So we make dhikr about what we comprehend and what we know. It's not necessarily bad, but like, it needs to be balanced, man. Wal-i'tisam. The next is clinging to Allah. So after thinking and remembering, then there's this sense of needing. And that needing leads to like clinging in a healthy way. And then that leads to al-firar. Al-firar means to flee to Allah. I told you, it's like really distilled. Fafirru ila Allah. The Quran says, flee to Allah. What does it mean to flee to Allah? So he talks about that. Wa riyada, and that's the next thing. Riyada is actually what people used to do, like people do with horses when they domesticate them. It's called riyada to faras. But this is riyada to nafs. Domesticate your soul. So I train my soul. I domesticate my soul. I bring it in line with its fitrah. That's a process. And that's why the book, now you can understand something, Riyad al-Salihin, right? The garden of the righteous. Talk about a garden, but that's the place where you train your soul. So Imam An-Nawawi starts with sincerity and tawbah. Actually, Imam An-Nawawi's book is actually like mimicking the manazil. Like Imam An-Nawawi's book, Riyad al-Salihin, the gardens of the righteous, every chapter is one of those stations, according to his understanding. So the station of ikhlas, the station of repentance, the station of patience. He's trying to say like, hey, here's the like the dalil for this. Rahimahullah. And then the last, as-sima', to be a good listener, to pay attention. So alhamdulillah, I'll repeat them again and then we'll start with the first one. He said that the beginnings are the following 10. Every chapter is 10. Just remember that's easy for you, inshallah. The first is being roused. The second, repentance. The third, introspection and accounting, reconnaissance. The fourth is physically returning. The fifth is contemplation. The sixth is remembrance. The seventh is clinging. The eighth is fleeing. The ninth is training. And then the tenth is listening. Tenth means like mindfulness. So today we're going to go through the first one, inshallah. And then next week we're going to try to do some exercises that will help enhance the theory that we're going to go through today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَعِذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدَةٍ. Allah says in the 34th chapter, verse 46, this is the verse you want to hang out with this week because I'm going to give you some things to think about. Chapter 34, verse 46. Say, O Muhammad, a'idhukum. A'idh means to preach, but like preach in a way which moves people, to adjure people. So it's not just yani uhadithhum aw kallimhum a'idhuhum, like awaken them. So oftentimes you find a hadith, like the hadith of Irbad, said that the Prophet ﷺ wa'adhana Rasulullah. The Prophet ﷺ, he adjured us with his speech. Like he awakened us with this type of preaching to the point where we begin to cry. Like we were moved by it. Biwahida, the verse says, say, I exhort you, that's the word. I exhort you to one. Here means like tawheed. One means tawheed or ta'atullah or the obedience of Allah. So the idea is like when you give someone maw'idha, they're not what? They're not paying attention. So the verse here is used to talk about the beginnings of that relationship. So I'm waking you up from your slumber to understand tawheed, to understand the obedience of Allah. If you're Muslim, to improve your ihsan. أن تقوموا لله مثنى وفرادى, that you stand, that you arise for God, is the meaning. Either together or as one. Yani in twos or one. But actually this is a form in Arabic which is used to show like all situations. Whether you're alone, whether you're in your group, wherever you are, قوموا لله. So the idea is like someone here, the rising is like the metaphor for someone rising from what? From sinnatil ghafla, to arise from a state of negligence. So that verse is used often, and I'm going to give you some questions I'll put later out later inshallah to think about this verse. So the Shaykh, he says, القوم لله تعالى هي اليقظة من سنة الغفلة. Sheikh, he says about the verse when Allah says to stand, to rise for God, he said what that means is that you arise from a state of negligence to a state of mindfulness and awareness. We mentioned this, I think, before. We said that there are like three ways that shaitan attacks people, three entry points. One of them is negligence. The other is anger. The other is desires. Al-ghafla wa-shahwa wal-ghadab. So the Shaykh is saying, Shaykh al-Harari, rahimahullah, al-qawmatu lillahi ta'ala hiya al-yaqadha min sinnat al-ghafla. To arise means to move from the state of negligence to the state of mindfulness. And that's why Allah says, a'idhuhum. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَعِذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدَةً. Say, I only exhort you to one thing. And actually three things are mentioned later. And this is a form in Arabic. It's like when I was in education, we used to do multiple choice exams. They say, give the easiest question first. So you say one, so people aren't like, oh gosh, it's so much. Like in Ramadan, Allah says, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَةً. Yani a few days, just fast a few days. The next verse, شَهُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. So when the Sahaba hear, oh, a few days, inshallah, inshallah. What's a few days? Huh? Shahr Ramadan. Oh, okay. So this is a form in da'wah called tashwiq al-mad'u ilayh. Like how do you not lie to the person, but like give them, like ease it for them, facilitate it for them. So it says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَعِذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدَةٍ. You know, I'm just telling you one thing. واحدة بس يعني خلاص. حسنة واحدة أو كلمة واحدة. Meaning لا إله إلا الله or توحيد or طاعة الله, obedience or whatever. But then later on you find like three or four things mentioned. Then he says that to be awake, to be roused is number one, to move from the state of negligence to the state of awareness. وَمِنْ نُحُود عَنْ وَرْطَةِ الْفَتْرَةِ. And to move away from destroying your time. So it's like to become aware and then acknowledge the fact that be careful that you're not wasting time. You're destroying your life. There's one poet, he said, يَا عَامِرَ لِخَرَابِ الدَّارِ مُجْتَهِدًا بُسْتِ. He said, oh, you who, like you work to build a dilapidated house. Meaning dunya. Doesn't mean neglect dunya, but it means to be overly consumed. هَلِّ خَارَبِ الْعُمْرِ عُمْرَانُ. Is there for somebody who dilapidated their lifetime a structure for them? Like you completely like just got lost and focused on everything else but what really matters is the point here. Not extremes, we talked about it earlier, but being balanced. أَقْبِلْ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ وَاسْتَقْمِلْ فَضَائِلَهَا. He said you should turn to your soul and focus on refining its qualities. فَأَنْتَ بِالنَّفْسِ لَا بِالْجِسْمِ إِنسَانُ. Because it's your soul, not your physical appearance, that makes you human. So here, that's what the Shaykh is saying. Rauta al-fatra, meaning that I wasted my life and stuff. I didn't use my life in the right way. So I become aware of that. Then he says, وَهِيَ أَوْرُ مَا يَسْتَنِيرُ قَلْبُ الْعَبْدِ بِالْحَيَاءِ لِرُؤْيَةِ نُورِ التَّنْبِيهِ. Ya salam. I don't know how to translate this, man, if you have any Arabs. But basically he said, this is the first moment where the heart becomes lit with the divine light. And the heart begins to see with the light of faith. And it brings this life to their heart that allows it to become aware. So it's like a flashlight turned on in their heart that showed them the path. So it's like, again, the metaphor is like being blind. And then suddenly the heart can see. وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي صُدُورِ النُّقْرَانِ. Allah said, the hearts are blind. So here it means now the heart begins to see. And this could be a metaphor for like values, right? That there's an emotional, moral compass now to how the person sees and looks at things. It's not just a corporal reality. Now they see also with like a spiritual reality. So he said that moment, that awakening is when someone's heart is moved. Like when, say in our language, like the heart is moved. He uses the metaphor, يَسْتَنِيرُ قَلْبُ عَبْدِي بِالْحَيَاءِ لِرُؤْيَةِ التَّنْبِيهِ أَنُورِ التَّنْبِيهِ. That they're able to process that awakening in the right way. The heart shines the flashlight on that moment and they're able to say, oh, this test is why this is happening. Or this success, I'm able to shine the flashlight of my soul onto this dunya and see beyond it, is kind of the idea here. Then he says, awareness is of three types. Is everybody okay? It's late, we'll try to finish. He said, awareness is three. Number one is that the heart becomes aware of blessings to the point that it becomes despondent of ever being able to count them all. So the heart like sees ni'mah. That's that yastaniru qalbu al-abdi, right? So the heart begins to process and it begins to see. Wa anta uddu ni'mata Allahi la tuhsuha. Like if you tried to count the blessings of Allah, you couldn't. So he said the heart, at this moment, the person, the heart begins to feel and appreciate the fact that they are surrounded by blessings, مَعَ الْيَأْسِ مِنْ عُدِّهَا. With like giving up any hope that would ever be able to limit or count or quantify or quantify the blessings. The second part of this first moment of first type of yaqadha is then also becoming aware that they have no limits. Meaning, like, are the blessings in your life stopping? Like, I see, my heart beats, like it's constant. There's always going to be pain and trauma and tests. But he's saying, if you squint, right, you're going to find there's ni'mah that don't stop. So in some ways, he's trying to help people make it out of despondency and sadness, and saying, listen, like at the same time, take a step back. Remember we talked about it in Munfarija, وَظَلَامُ اللَّيْلِ لَهُ سُرُجٌ. Right, the darkest nights have bright stars. So the heart now begins to recognize blessings, see blessings, even though it's tough. And that's one of the goals of postmodernity and capitalism, is to break you. There's only happiness in wearing serum. There's only value in having Yeezys. If you don't have six-pack abs, your body's nothing. And that's why it has a smugness and a coldness to it. Capitalism is smug and cold. It will throw you in the streets. So what he's saying is, you know, don't fall for it. And we have to be very careful that even within the Western Academy, all of the isms, the goal of those isms is to find no happiness. So there's never khayr. And we want to balance that without saying like, yeah, it's like, you know, never, never land over here or something. Everything's great. Right? At the same time, I don't want to fall into despondency, because when تعدوا نعمة الله فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. When I went to Egypt, one of the most difficult, and when I went to Umrah too, and Hajj, I always tell people this, try not to complain. Right? And they're like, man, it's hard. Like, you can complain about things. She mentioned those are things we should be worried about, right? But just like little things that don't really matter, man. So in Egypt, a lot of times I notice students of knowledge when they come to Egypt. We had a brother, he came to Azhar, he was mad because there was no air conditioning. I said, man, where do you think you are, buddy? You in Umm al-Dunya, man. Right, this is Egypt, right? Grab a piece of paper, get some karkidi, man. Get some of that good cold karkidi drink and live your life. And I said to him, to be a student of knowledge means you can't complain a lot. Right? In the sense of like the minuscule stuff. The big things, okay, I'm with you. If you can impact that and make change, kill it. So the Sheikh here is saying like, here's a way to shift that awakening to something. Because oftentimes we find awakenings lead to people looking down on everyone else and painting the world in a horrible way. The Sheikh is saying, yeah, the first step is to be appreciative of blessings. To see the ni'mah of Allah. And that's hard, that's a process. I'm not telling you I've done it. He said, وَالْعِلْمِ بِتَقْصِيرِ فِي حَقِّهَا. And the second part of that first moment of the heart appreciating blessings, giving up on their limits or being able to quantify them, he said, is what تَقْصِيرُ فِي حَقِّهَا, meaning that I become aware that I'm deficient in my relationship with God. I'm deficient in giving those blessings. I can never repay those blessings. Like, they're too immense. So in my shortcomings in that relationship, I become aware of that. And then he says, وَتَفَرُّعْ إِلَى مَعْرِفَةِ الْمَنَانِ. And then you flee to the one that you know gave them to you. So that's like the first step in the first part of being awakened, is awareness of the blessing. Understanding its infinite nature. Understanding it's impossible for me to cause it. So then I turn and I look at myself and say, well, I'm not really fulfilling, I'm not reciprocating these blessings. I can't. So the only thing I can do, since I can't reciprocate them and I can't control them, is to trust on the source of them. That's the vibe that he's giving you. Then he says, وَالثَّانِي مُطَالِعَةُ الْجَنَايَةِ, is to uncover your sins, to experience seeing your sins, understanding our shortcomings. وَالْوُقُوفُ عَلَى خَطْرِ فِيهَا, and appreciating the danger of falling into sin. So the first is recognizing blessings. The second type of awareness is being aware of my evil, the danger of my evil. وَتَشْمِرِ لِي تُدَارِكِهَا, and then striving to find out what triggered this evil, what causes it, investing in myself, understanding myself. وَتَخَلُّص, and then to cease. And he uses a word, he says, to emancipate yourself from their shackles. So like he uses a very strong word. Because there's a very profound ethos that moves in this form of theology. Either I'm the slave to Allah, or I'm the slave to something else. I'm the abd of Allah, or I'm the abd of something else. Or I'm kind of like mixed. That's most of us, right? Somewhere in the middle, trying our best to find that balance. Then he says, وَطَرَبَ النَّجَاءَ مِن تَمْحِيصِهَا, and then seeking Allah's help to help you survive the test of the sin. And the word tamhis means to filter. So he's using really powerful language as though like mistakes and sin are a way to like filter who you are. Like you can use it as an opportunity to know yourself and find, and that's why the Prophet said, now you can appreciate the hadith, people are like metal. الناس المعادن كالفضة والذهب. People are like metals, like gold and silver. How do we discover gold and silver? You gotta go through dirt. So like the process of being tested by sin, if I survive it, ultimately may uncover your what? Your gold. It's like really beautiful, man, language that he's using. And the last, inshallah, and we'll stop here. وَثَلَاثُ وَثَارِثُ الْإِنْتِبَاهُ لِمَعْرِفَةِ زِيَادِ وَنُقْصَانِ مِ الْأَيَامِ. And the last, he said, is to be aware of how you used your time. Is everybody okay? Is it too distilled for you? All right, I don't want to like take you somewhere and then you'd be mad at me. But it's very powerful. So he's saying awareness is three things, right? Number one is to be aware of blessings, how they're infinite, how you can't control them, and you can't stop them, you can't increase them, you just gotta roll with it. And since you gotta roll with it, you might as well roll with the one who's rolling it. That's how we can state it in our language. Meaning, a heightened sense of awareness of blessings should lead to a heightened sense of reliance and trust. But he's not saying that yet. The second is, wow, I just woke up. Man, I have been doing some crazy stuff for a long time. Let me be aware of my evil. So, مُطَالِعَ عَلَى الْجَنَايَةِ. So I become, طَلَعَ means to climb a mountain. So it's like you climbed up over the summit and now you look down and you're like, oh man, I really did that? Oh man, I did that? So now you can see why the second station is going to be what? Tawbah. Because Tawbah is for either failing to recognize blessings, failing to stay away from sin, or failing to use my time, which is both of those. So you can see like how he's kind of building it. And that's something that I really want us to appreciate, man. And I don't mean to say this in a bad way to disrespect anybody, but our Sunday school educations ain't cutting it. Like we need to expose our younger community to a much more refined, deeper sense of theology. And oftentimes the Muslim community is worried. They're like, no, we need to bring them nasheed artists. I have no problem with nasheed artists. I'm down with some nasheed artists, you know what I mean? But I can't just be nasheeding. Like I gotta be learning. So there has to be both. And I can't just be learning and not what? Nasheeding, know what I mean? So like, I gotta have both. But I worry that at times when I teach these kind of texts, people are like, man, I had no idea that we had this kind of robust. And for you who are educators, these people, you know what they started to write about a lot? Cognition. How do you learn? Emotional cognition. Because they tied all this together, trauma and culture. How does it impact people? So don't get frustrated. Like, I'm gonna push you sometimes, but I'm gonna be here for, I'm here for you, and you're there for me. Like, if I screw up, you'll help me. So the first is awareness, and he said awareness is caused by three things. Number one is a blessing falls into my life that's just like, I realize I have no control over it. It's something I never expected. It completely blows my mind. So then I should think about, what's the source of that? All of us probably have had some experiences in that way. The second is that I become aware of the sins, the crimes I've committed against my Lord and their danger. So I turn to Allah to seek safety and security from those sins. And the third is that I become aware of how I have used my time. And here that plays out in a few ways. And he actually says, intibah, mindfulness, awareness. That someone becomes aware of how he or she has either flagrantly used their time or miserly used their time. So what he means by flagrantly is like, I just did all kind of ratchetness. So I've been generous with my time in a wrong way. Or I've been a miser with my time, meaning the same thing, right? I had the opportunity to do good and I was miserly with it. I had the opportunity to do something right and I just didn't do it. So he said that time rests between those two things. And he said, nah. And we'll finish here. And he said, if you go through that process where you examine your time in this way, you'll see where you have been guided to use it properly and where you've allowed it to be ruined, where you've wasted it. So we're going to stop here, and then next time we're going to talk about what's a blessing. Like, how do you recognize ni'mah? Like, how do I awaken? How do I find the opportunity for seeing good in my life? And then also we'll talk about how to utilize and frame our time in a positive way. And then that will take us into the next station, which is Tawbah. So the first is an awakening, right? We went through the awakenings like in detail 3 weeks ago. It's on YouTube if you want to find it there, right? That's why I did that, to kind of set this up. And the Sheikh, he's saying like the awakening is the ability to move from negligence to awareness. And we said that there's a lot of vulnerability there, man. So someone has to be really careful that they stay balanced. They don't go too hard, they don't go too soft. And he said three things. It could be more. He's not saying these are the only three things, right? He's not a modernist. He's just saying these are kind of like the three general things that cause awakenings. Marifatun ni'am, appreciating blessings and realizing something's a blessing. Like, can you imagine if we really were able to comprehend the value of our vascular system? We lose our minds, man, right? The second, he said, is to become aware of sin, personal sin, and the danger of personal sin and how to flee to God for that. And then the third is being aware of how I've used my time, either flagrantly or in a way which is like miserly. And that's going to lead to Tawbah. So when I make Tawbah, I'm making Tawbah for not using a blessing, not recognizing a blessing. I make Tawbah or using it wrong, for falling into sin. I make Tawbah for not using my time. So any questions or thoughts?